Small business, big advice. Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast, where small business owners, employees, or just marketing fanatics can learn how to grow a business on a budget without wasting any money.
Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast. My name is Shannon and I'm here with small business marketing consultant and expert Amy Miosevich. And today we are going to talk about converting leads into customers, which doesn't sound like a very marketing focused topic.
No, it's not. And it's actually one of the questions I get asked so much. It's such a big part of our framework, but it's never something that marketing experts or consultants talk about because it's very like salesy.
It does sound salesy.
Yeah, but for a small business, often it's the case that you're wearing all the hats, right? Mm. From marketing and lead generation through to converting customers, through to delivering products, through to nurturing your fans. Like, it's definitely one of those things that is often handled, you know, by a business founder or a business leader as they're growing. And it's often the case that business founders are in the best position to be able to convert leads into customers because they're the ones that know the customers best and they're the ones that probably do this better than anyone else.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is, I guess, we're kind of in the middle of our...
Oh, we're in the middle of the caterpillar.
Yes.
We're in the belly of the beast.
So this is really, this is the point that we are really getting into making money. So the more leads we can convert into customers, obviously the more revenue you'll make. And it's a very important part of the system that I think a lot of companies tend to forget about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to give you an example. It's genuinely a phone call that I've just had today.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
It's just a project we're working on at the moment where we've been working on a Facebook ads project for a client, and the number of Facebook ads that they're running, they're going really well. And no real credit to us. I mean, they were already running when we took over, and we're just working on improving it now. But we've been monitoring quite closely what's happening to these leads once they submit an inquiry. And they are using the direct-to-message inquiry system for Facebook ads. And so what's happening is they're going through to Messenger. And we've been tracking the amount of messages that are coming through and how they're being responded to. And a lot of them, they've got an auto like chatbot set up, and a lot of the messages, I guess, aren't, they're not converting into even like real leads. Like, some of them aren't even entering the CRM system for the business. And we worked out just before that instead of paying, you know, $15 per conversion on Facebook ads, they're paying, you know, $400, $500 per CRM entry because those messages aren't actually being responded to personally and they're not being treated like real leads. Mm-hmm. So in this instance, you know, even though they are getting the leads into their business, they're not actively being converted into customers in the most effective way, which
they're just kind of dying off, as a first hurdle.
It's making the whole process really expensive. And not only that, I mean, you've only got a finite number of people in the market that might want to buy your product. And these ones are already putting up their hand and saying they're interested. So,
yeah.
But look, we're just at the start of this journey. It's absolutely going to be something that's fixed. So that's why we're here. And that's what this whole part of the framework's about. So if you've ended up with a bottleneck in this spot, I have to stress it is not uncommon. Especially if your business has grown and you are the founder or you are the owner of the business and you used to sit in this space and perhaps you have been focusing on other things, or maybe you've handed over the reins to someone else. Mm-hmm. This is incredibly important that you get a better grip on.
I feel like this section, there are a lot more cogs are turning to get this right. You know, you've got a lot more things that you need to do and to keep an eye on to make sure that you do convert. Whereas I think in those earlier stages, there's maybe one or two things that you can kind of do and you're tracking those things and it's a bit easier to keep an eye on. And, you know, you've got your website, you can make sure that's running. And I think when we get here, it's like you know, your customer service will come into it. Your if you have a method of providing quotes to people, if that's not running smoothly, then that's going to be a loss of an opportunity. And so I think there are a lot more pieces to the puzzle when you hit this stage. Yeah. So there's a lot more margin for error.
Yeah. And do you know, there's a lot less ways of tracking this process, like you were kind of alluding to. I think when you're in this front end of the system and you're using digital technology to execute, when you get into this system, you know, a lot of businesses don't have a digital way of recording leads. It's an Excel document or a piece of paper. It's just a phone call, and it's a lot harder to make improvements on data that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So it's such a big issue. And it is a marketing. It's a marketing exercise. It's a marketing exercise because a lot of the same principles that we've already implemented into the website and into marketing channels are the same things that are going to transform this particular part of the process mm-hmm. as well. And there's a lot of silos that often happen between marketing teams and sales teams in larger organizations. And it's because a lot of the time those teams have different objectives, but they're part of the same sales process. And a lot of the time, if you do have real silos and you've got different processes, the journey can seem quite disjointed for a customer.
Yep.
And that can be quite overwhelming, I think, if you've kind of been promised something in a marketing capacity and then you get to the sales team and it's a whole different experience. It mm-hmm. could be quite juxtaposing, and it probably makes you not want to work with that company.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of start this off by telling a quick story. When we talk about converting leads into customers, there are two things that I see a lot when it comes to small businesses, micro businesses, I guess even larger businesses, and that is this concept of overselling and underselling.
Okay.
And I reckon most companies have something that either represents one or the other.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of businesses, I think, that sit in the middle. And I'll tell you why. So there's a client that I worked with a number of years ago, an engineering company, and they had a sales team that looked after turning leads into customers, but they weren't actually a sales team. What they were was an estimating team. So what would and this is the case for a lot of companies that provide quoting or respond to RFQs or put together tenders. What this team was doing is receiving leads and getting all the information from the customer, and then they were putting together a formal quote mm-hmm. In a Word document, and then they were sending it through, and then that was it. And what was happening was, first of all, they weren't actually recording the inquiries they were getting, so they didn't have any way of they didn't have a CRM, they didn't really have a centralized Excel document. They were getting emails, there were four people in the team, they'd share the emails. Their KPIs, they assumed and they told me, were just how many quotes they could get out in a day, how many emails had gone X amount of days without being responded to. They didn't have any sales training. They didn't have any KPIs attached to sales conversions. They weren't mentored in how to tackle different customers. The owners of the business, in fact, had passed, as their company grew, they passed this responsibility on to one and then two and then three and then four estimators. And although they were quite technically competent, what was happening was they didn't have any visualization on what was happening with these leads. And it turns out they weren't converting as many as they thought.
Okay.
But the company and the owners, they didn't know, because there was no way of recording it. They didn't report back. So in this instance, that's what I would call underselling. Mm-hmm. And it happens a lot. It's when you have an estimating team performing the roles of a sales team. The owners are no longer watching what's happening. And these customers are coming in, getting a price, maybe not getting a price. And then, you know, no one's doing anything to encourage them to purchase. And if they've had quite a great sales, a pre-sales experience, if they've gone and been attracted through Google ads, the website's fantastic, and then suddenly all they're getting is a quote 3 days after an inquiry with a price, no follow-up, no marketing techniques, no call, nothing like that, the chances of you purchasing are really slim.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd call underselling. And then there's something called overselling.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, again, you know, we've all fallen victim to this as well. This is when a company hires a sales rep to do the selling.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that a lot of clients I know have done as well. And that's when the KPIs are very much tied to number of sales. And the salesperson in this role is often someone that's jumped from industry to industry. They might not have been with the company for a long time. It's likely that they haven't. The only KPIs they're responsible for are sales, which means they'll do anything to get the sale.
It's a numbers game.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. They'll offer discounts. They'll do things that aren't quite right. They'll promise the world. There's a whole bunch of tactics that a professional salesperson hired for that KPI will implement in that role. And I see it a lot. And it's also a problem for the business because, yes, they might have a really great conversion rate. They're not going to stick around. They're mm-hmm. not loyal to the company. They're going to promise things that can't be delivered, which means you're never going to end up with real, true fans of your business. They probably aren't going to be that connected with the company itself, so they're not going to do a great job of communicating things like value or company values and all that kind of stuff. And for a business that has a salesperson like that, it's often they hold those sales techniques close to them. They don't want to share the techniques with anyone else. So the IP isn't actually held by the business at all. It's held by
that
person.
Individual.
Yeah, and then they're going to leave and take it somewhere else, and there's no way you can replicate it. So this is what I would consider overselling, and it happens a lot as well. And I think that as a business, if you are growing and you want to look at bringing someone in to look after leads and actually help grow your business in that particular piece of the puzzle, often you think those are your two choices. You find someone quite technical to who knows the product, who knows the company, to put together prices, or you hire a salesperson in who's going to get the numbers that you want. And neither of those are the best solution. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to you now about what is the best solution.
Okay.
So
I'm very intrigued. And I think I'm intrigued as well from a marketer's perspective that I guess more to the overselling aspect, but I think sales and marketing, I mean, they're literally said in the same breath all the time.
Yeah.
And even when I tell my friends, like, this is what I do, this is my job, and they're like, oh, okay, so you're in sales. I'm like,
no, not really.
No, I'm not.
Someone called you and asked you to sell something. To be really honest, I don't even pick, I don't like answering the phone much, and salespeople love answering the phone, and I think that's the biggest telltale. I'm in marketing. I work behind the scenes.
But that is how it feels. It's like you're kind of putting out all the tools and the foundations so that sales can happen, whether it's via a salesperson or not, but you're not doing the selling. It's very different.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's completely different. So the company I was talking about before, the engineering company, what had happened and with this particular business is the founders, they had started succeeding all of their hats and their roles, and the owner had hired, or one of the owners had hired a couple people to sit in this estimating team. And at first, I think he didn't really realize what was happening. He assumed that because he had relinquished that role himself, and he had like a pretty much 100% conversion rate because that was his business. You know, when he picked up the phone, he would put the effort in to get the sale. He would understand what the company needed. He would talk to them about problems. He would have, you know, solutions like at hand. He knew people in the industry. He knew how to speak their language. It was a very easy process for him to convert leads into sales. And so when he started handing that off, he did the training, right? So he brought, like, you know, these two guys on board, taught them how to do the quotes. This is how you answer the phone. This is how you send it to them. Like, bam, done.
Yeah.
And at first he didn't realize it was going wrong. And I remember when I met him, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 months down the track, and he was like, our sales are going down. Like, our revenue is pretty static. We've just built this new warehouse. Like, we need the money. We need marketing help. And I think that was our conversation. I was thinking, I don't know if you need marketing help. It could be something else. And I guess that's what this whole framework is about. But we spent the time trying to understand what was happening in the marketing space. And there was a lot of bottlenecks he kind of had at the front of the system. But it wasn't until we started talking to the estimating team that I started to get a picture around what was happening once people were inquiring or phoning, and what was happening with, you know, the messages that they were sending through. And first of all, there was nothing happening. Mm-hmm. So those messages weren't actually being captured anywhere. So we started talking about implementing, I guess, a CRM system. So a CRM is a customer relationship management system. In its essence, it's really just capturing information that comes in.
It's just data.
Yeah, it's just data.
It's not that glam.
No. And look, it can be as easy as an Excel spreadsheet. It could be as complex as an automation system. It could be something like Salesforce or we've used Pipedrive a lot. Pipedrive is a really great CRM system. We've got clients that have built their own CRMs from scratch. All it is a way of capturing this information. So we actually started really simple. I think we started with a Google Doc. Every inquiry they got in was, you know, they had to put it in there. Every phone call they got, they had to put in there. And straight away, something started happening where just recording that started improving their revenue.
Yeah.
So I think after a few months, what was happening was the estimating team was being forced to record this information, and taking the time to write it all out meant that everyone had a bit more transparency into what was coming in. And I could say to them, look, your marketing is going pretty well.
You're getting
well.
The leads.
You're getting the leads. The leads are staying consistent. I think we had 2 or 3 months worth of data that was being recorded, and it was consistent. In fact, it was, you know, going up. So we knew straight away that there wasn't a bottleneck before this. It was actually kind of sitting in that space. And that gave us the opportunity to go, okay, well, something's not quite happening here. So let's start recording which ones are turning into customers. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was around that period, it took us about 4 or 5 months to really work out what was going on. But over that period, they recorded them all and they had to write down which ones were becoming customers. And I think they actually asked the accounts team or the admin team to actually go back and reference that document when someone had become a customer so they could write down how much they spent. And okay. So it was a very simple document, but it was starting to get a bit bigger. Yep. And they quickly started understanding their conversion rate. So when the owners of the business actually sat in on this meeting that I had created every month to look at the data, they were pretty shocked, I think, at how little they were converting. Because like I said, the owner, he used to do it all himself, and he used to get really great results, and suddenly he wasn't getting any at all, and that would have been quite overwhelming. And what he realized was whatever he was doing was really, really valuable, right? And it was clearly working. He wasn't really overselling. He wasn't underselling. He had created this methodology, and he had it in his head, and he knew the customers, and he knew information about them. And he even had customers that had bought from him before that had then been, like, you know, treated like a complete stranger who had then just, like, not proceeded at all with the quote and gone somewhere else. Yeah. And that information he had in his head wasn't captured. The way he did his sales process wasn't captured. There was no codified method for converting leads into customers for this business.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I'm talking about when I say it's not overselling, it's not underselling, it's this perfect bit in the middle. And that's what we had to introduce with this company. And it's actually what changed their growth, because having this particular process between converting, you know, or turning a lead into a customer, having it captured and codified means a couple things. First of all, it means that you can improve it, because you cannot improve a process that does not exist, right? In fact, you can't even deliver something consistently that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So you can improve something, you can deliver it consistently, you can have complete visibility and transparency across multiple people, which means that you can go in there and take over someone's position when something happens, you can jump in and talk to someone about it. Capturing a process also means that you can introduce like marketing techniques and more marketing methodology to make sure that you're actively putting in the best, like it's the best absolute approach to the system.
Yeah.
And then being forced to capture something as part of a process or within a CRM system means you never lose track of where something's up to. And you always can go back to someone and follow up. If you've just got something in your emails, you're never going to remember to follow up with someone, right?
Yeah. And it's messy. It's disorganized. Yeah. It's not centralized. People don't know who you've spoken to or when. And
it's definitely something that has to be codified. And we work with a client that has sales reps all across the world. And what happens with these guys is they all have their own way of selling, which means that if you want to expand the business, or you want to franchise the business or things like that, you can't actively do it you know, you can't effectively do it because you don't actually have a way of doing stuff, which means that you've got someone over in Portugal who's delivering something different to the guy that's in Canada, and suddenly, you know, one conversion rate's higher than the other. And do you know, is it because the process is different? Is it because they're talking about different USPs? Is it because the market's different? Like, it's so hard to actually improve something and look at variables when no one's doing things the same way. And that was the case, you know, with these guys. Is this founder, he hadn't captured what he did really. He'd put the technical components into their mind. He told them about how to, you know, produce a quote, but he hadn't actively told them, okay, well, you know, when I meet someone for the first time, when I speak to someone on the phone, I ask them a bit about their business, because it's just something he just did, right? Yeah. So we went through that
It came naturally to him, so he probably didn't really think that it was a process, but he made it a process.
And it was really just sitting with them and sitting with him and going, okay, well, let's all do it together. So this particular inquiry comes through, how would you do it, and studying it and capturing it and writing it down. And even once we had taken the time to put a lot of these, like, I guess, checkpoints in place, so it was almost like a process in itself, it was a system in itself. It's this is when we reach out, this is when we get in touch, this is how we, you know, send them through this information, this is when we follow up. This kind of capturing of it and delivering it the same way, it had another pretty big effect on the business.
Yeah.
And then once we were confident everyone was, you know, collecting the info and using the info the same way, then could we come in and go, okay, well, you know, once you send someone a quote, we've noticed that at this stage in the process, you're sending them a quote via a Word document and they're not proceeding to the next stage. Is the price wrong? Mm-hmm. Is the format you're sending them wrong? Is it too slow? Are you not following up quick enough? We can actually start running little experiments to try and improve that conversion rate over time. So that's, I guess, that's this bit that's in between. Because if you don't have a process captured, then you don't own it. You can't capture the knowledge. You're never going to be able to do all that stuff that I just mentioned. And it's so important. And having a CRM or anything, Excel document, Word document, is such an important part. No matter how small you are, it's such an important part of converting leads into customers. It's so simple. It helps you critically examine what you're doing, because this is the bit that's going to make you the money, right? So I've actually got a few notes specifically about a CRM system that I wanted to kind of talk to everyone about. Have you used a CRM system before?
I have in a really, so my previous role was, marketing for training and education. So we had a CRM that was more than just a CRM. It tracked, trainee progress. Like, it was a really, really, evolved system, I guess, but it did act as a CRM as well. Yeah. And so, we would go out to universities and to association events, and we would collect leads. That's just one example, but we would collect leads and then we would come back and import all the data into this CRM. But it was also, it acted as like a million other different things as well.
I understand.
I haven't really used any more of the standardized CRMs.
There's so many out there. And look, you, like I said, you don't need to start with something like an actual program. You could just start with a Google Sheet and start with that. One of the reasons I advocate for that is because creating and implementing a CRM and making that part of your day-to-day practices in this part of your business, it's really hard. It takes time. It's not comfortable. It's sometimes you'll get a phone call and
it's admin.
Yeah, I know.
And no one likes admin.
Well, sometimes you'll get a phone call and then they'll ask about a price and then you go, here's the price. And then they go, thanks. And then you go, well, do I record that?
Was that a lead?
Yes. The answer is yes, you record that. I mean, the absolute best way of doing this, and it depends what point of growth you're at and I guess what your resources are, but you can automate a lot of stuff to go into something like Google Sheets or Pipedrive is a really good one. You know, you can use Pipedrive to create the form that's on your website, so all the leads just go straight into there.
Yeah.
You can use phone forwarding systems like CallRail to record every phone call that you get as a line item as well, so you never miss them. If someone called to ask the price, that needs to be recorded, because even if you haven't captured all their info, that is a lead that you have received from your marketing activities that you should be counting if you're managing your conversions properly. So it counts as one of your conversion materials. But then if you're putting those in there and you go, goodness, I didn't get that info, then next time you'll go, hey, just before you go, is it okay if I send, like, or maybe you don't give them the price. I'd love to send it to you via email. Can I have your email?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So you, at least you have the opportunity to follow up, and it's understanding how important the data is and then valuing it enough to give up your time to do it.
And it just takes practice. I think everything, when you do it the first few times, it feels a little bit clunky and a little bit awkward. And if you haven't asked people for their contact details in return before, then it's going to feel really strange, probably,
yeah, definitely.
I would imagine.
Definitely.
But after a couple of times of doing it, you'll just get into a rhythm and you'll eventually see the value of that extra couple of seconds on the phone.
Yep. Just asking.
And
for
it
that
won't
info.
Feel awkward anymore.
No, I definitely agree. I think it's a very, very interesting it's an interesting change management exercise because it adds so much value to your business, but at the time it seems quite hard and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it so many times. I've sat with organizations that think about the cost and the time investment more than the benefit and the outcome. And the circumstance I was talking about this morning, I have absolutely no hesitation that, you know, this particular client dealing with the Facebook messages can overcome this quite quickly now that we've actually got the visibility into what's been going on. And I understand how time-consuming it would be to have someone on call all the time replying to messages. Like, that's definitely something to think about.
But like you said in this podcast, and I heard you say it to the client as well, is that there's a few things that you can kind of trial.
Yes.
Just to see if there's an improvement.
Yeah.
So you can do, you can tweak something for maybe a week or a month to see if there's any noticeable improvement over that time.
Yeah.
And then if there is, you know that that's where you need to focus your attention and make some bigger changes for the long term.
Yeah.
But if you acknowledge it and you see that there's maybe an issue, but you're not willing to try to fix it and you're not willing to experiment a little bit with figuring out what to do, then you could be losing a lot of potential customers.
Definitely. So I think that's where I might leave it for today, because there is quite a lot to go through when we talk about converting leads into customers. We've touched on CRM. I don't think we need to talk too much more about CRM. I have actually designed a CRM spreadsheet. Just in case you don't have one yet as a business and you wanted to look at mine, I'll make sure that that's in the link to the episode.
Cool.
But next week, we're actually going to talk a little bit more about the actual techniques that you can implement within this system.
Okay.
So if you are getting an inquiry via phone or email, there are probably, we've got a few, again, I think there's six, we've got a few things that you could try that actually help convert your leads a bit higher than other stuff. And there's lots of people that talk about it, lots of sales experts, lots of recommendations for automation emails that you can send. I just want to cover off the really simple ones that you can introduce now if you are a small business and you are looking at converting the absolute most number of leads into customers for your business. So that's next week.
Exciting.
Awesome. Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you.